helping you to realize that all your relationships can be screen-free. This is Screen Free Radio with relationship expert Hal Runkle on News Talk 750 WSB. Call now and talk to Hal at 404-872-0750 or toll free at 1-800-WSB-TALK.
Helping the world calm down and grow up one relationship at a time, and bringing you a newfound calm into your stress-filled life and helping you create the relationships you've always craved. This is Scream Free Radio, and I'm your host, Hal Runkle, barely here, just running into the studio because I didn't know about the construction on the connector. And it's fascinating that it was almost going to be hosted by Jenny Runkle, one of the co-producers of the show and research director and director of content on our website, screamfree.com. And it would have been fitting. We rode in separate cars because I am, right after the show, headed to the airport. I've got a little gig on the Today Show tomorrow morning, so I get to go to New York tonight. So we ride in separate cars, and she leaves on time. I do leave on time, but then realize I forgot my phone. It would have been fine if not we didn't run into that construction traffic. And she was about to start the show on her own, which would have been a first for her, but it would have been very, very fitting. Because today's topic is going to be would have been perfectly illustrated by the fact that she was here on time and I was not. We are not in the same order in our family. Meaning, we did not occupy the same order of birth and amongst our siblings. Like many, many couples, I am a last-born youngest child, and Jenny is a first-born. And one of the things we know, there are some stereotypes that just seem to be amazingly uniform across cultures, across family size, across socioeconomic conditions. Birth order is one of the most profound shapers of personality that we have ever identified. Firstborns, what do you think? More responsible? More successful? It's wild, they're even usually taller. They make more money, they have higher SAT scores. Lastborns, they are spoiled, they are irresponsible. They are, but amazingly charming, which my wife is shaking her head right now, saying I don't fit that part of the profile. Birth order has a profound, profound effect. Now, it is not a life sentence where you're born, but it is amazing how those stereotypes play out across generations, across cultures. And we're going to talk about how it affects you, where you were born, which I can probably guess if you just give us your occupation. So call in, give me your occupation, and I will take a guess at what order you came in. Where you were born has more of an effect than almost any other factor. Now, yes, there are always personality factors that we cannot anticipate. Tragedy, divorce, loss of a parent, loss of other siblings, step-families throw things into the mix, but even so, it is still amazing how powerful sibling position, where you were born, it's amazing how powerful it does affect your personality. And there's a new study that came out, and this is why I'm going to the Today Show. They called me to talk about this new study that says, firstborns, on average, between the ages of 4 and 13, firstborns will receive 3,000 more hours of parental time, 3,000, than all subsequent children. And as you can imagine, the level of time with each child goes down. And we've all, you know, heard the jokes. We've all made the jokes, you know, that the firstborn, you've got this amazing baby book that started right when they're born. And then the secondborn, well, you get around to it. You'll get around to it. And the thirdborn, you know, you're lucky if you've got a few pictures of you from your second birthday. We've all experienced that. But this study is saying 3,000 more hours. And so it's causing a lot of parents to throw themselves into a panic because now, okay, I understand what happened to me because of my birth order, but what can I do differently with this next generation? And there have been every generation trying to counteract the effects. And here we have hard data saying you can by spending more time with your younger children, with subsequent children. But does that mean that automatically, you know what, there's still going to be those drastic differences? Are the firstborn, is your firstborn going to be the more responsible one? Is the middle child going to be kind of lost in between and not know where they fit? Is the youngest child going to be the charming, funny, wild child that ends up hosting their own radio show? I want to help you. I want to help you figure out, all right, how is my birth order affecting my life, my career choices, but most amazing is your mate choices. So much is affected by where you came in your sibling position along with your spouse. But I want to help you. You tell me your birth order, and we will talk about how that's affecting your lives. And then we're going to talk about how to parent so that you can highlight the strengths of birth order and at the same time also mitigate some of the weaknesses that come with those birth order positions. Because ultimately what I want for my kids, what I want for your kids, is that they are not predetermined by the luck of the draw when they were born. I want our kids to become individuals who can choose their personalities. That's what I want for you. I want to help you parent in such a way that highlights the individuality of each of your children and mitigates those effects, those forces of birth order. But it is profound. It is a profound force. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. That's 1-800-972-8255. Keith has called. Keith, you're on the air with Scream Free Radio.
Yeah, you're calling it about birth order, and the way I see things grow up was completely different than what you're trying to say here.
Uh-huh.
And I said, do you want me to tell you what me, my brother, and my sister's occupations are?
Sure, let's give it a try.
Try to guess it?
Yeah, I'll try and guess it.
Okay, my sister, she dropped out at 15 out of high school, pregnant, had three kids. My brother dropped out at his senior year and went on to have six kids.
Okay.
Both of them are dropout high schools. I ended out finishing high school, going into the military for 8 years, getting out of the military of 8 years, and going to Georgia State University, where I've achieved a bachelor's in science.
Okay.
I now work in Atlanta as a systems architect.
Wow. Well, I'm going to guess, all right, that you are the last born.
No, my sister is the last born.
Well, I obviously screwed that up. Your
so
sister's
the first born or the second born now?
You are you're the first born.
No, I am the middle born.
Wow.
I grew up being the wild child.
You were the wild child.
Yeah.
I would challenge that because your sister's the one that got pregnant at 15. That's kind of a definition of a wild child.
Well,
it happens to a lot of last borns.
But what kind of happened with me in my time? My brother's actually 3 years older than I am.
Okay. How old is, but what's the difference between you and your sister?
1 year.
1 year?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's why.
Year and like 2 months or so.
Well, that's why you would qualify yourself as a wild child, because middle children will turn out closer, whichever age they're closest to, they will take on the effects of that one. So if you're closer in age to your youngest child, then you will act more like a youngest.
Yeah. What kind of happened there? He's 3 years older than I am, and so he was kind of like the learning child of the parent.
Yeah, all the parents.
Hey, you get a curfew at 12 o'clock. Well, he came home one day and had a girlfriend pregnant.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, me? Your curfew's off.
Sure, you learned. You learned. Well, you see, that's interesting, because a lot of times parents will start off, and if they're not great parents, if they're not suited for the job, then they will make all their mistakes with the firstborn.
Yeah, my brother, you know, he got a car at 16. As soon as he turned 16, here's your car. Go out and have fun, you know. And for me, I had to earn it. They said, no, we're not going to do that again.
Did he have a back seat for the car seats for the kids?
back then it was real big in a mini truck. So we grew up in California.
Gotcha.
So he had a little mini truck, and
Well, hey, Keith, thanks for testing me and proving that I don't know what I'm talking about.
All right,
I appreciate it. Hey, we've got a lot of callers waiting on. Just want you to think about this. Of the first 23 astronauts that went into space in the space program in the 60s, how many do you think were firstborns? We will have that information when you come back, as well as taking your calls. You're listening to Screen Free Radio with your host, Hal Runkle, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. That's 1-800-972-8255, Newstalk, 750 WSB. Heaven is
on. The relationship revolution you don't want to miss. You're listening to Screen Free Radio with Hal Runkle on News Talk 750 WSB.
Bringing a newfound calm into your stress-filled life and helping you create the relationships you've always wanted. Birth order, how much does it affect who you are? How can kids growing up in the same household, same parents, turn out so differently? Birth order is definitely one of the explanations. Well, we asked right before the break, how many astronauts, of the first 23, how many were firstborns? And Tina doesn't know this. She's on the line, but I'm going to ask her to guess on that. Tina, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm going to say all of them.
All of them.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very close. 21 of the first 23. But here's the deal. The other two?
Uh-huh.
We're only children,
okay.
Which are like firstborns on steroids.
Yes.
That's what they're at. So what's
they're more adult-like.
Exactly.
Yeah, I read the new birth order book before I had my second child, which was a boy.
The Kevin Lehman book, that one?
Yeah.
I think that's what it's called.
And he also says in there that it affects the, depending on the sex of the child, it'll affect the birth order. Like the last caller, he was a second-born boy.
Yes.
And the sister, even though she was the baby, would have been considered a semi-firstborn because she was the first girl.
In many ways, yes. And he would have been, and it's interesting because he said at the very beginning, he said, it doesn't bear out in my family, but it totally does because the youngest boy is like a lastborn.
Right. And so my children are both, I've got one girl and one boy, and while the boy has characteristics of the last born, he also has first born characteristics because he's the first born.
Sure.
And naturally, we treat girl and boy differently.
Exactly. Now, your girl is older, right?
Yes, the girl is older, and she's more emotional. And it also says in that book that girls make better firstborns because it's more emotionally stressful to be a firstborn.
Yes.
And women are stronger emotionally, and that a lot of boys end up with lower self-esteem because they can't take the pressures of being the firstborn and having to, you know, carry that torch. So
fascinating, I will tell you. And I think it'd be interesting to see if my father's listening, because my father's firstborn, but right after him was born a very strong female. And she, in many ways, has acted like a firstborn.
Right.
Throughout, and it's interesting, the firstborn girl, no matter where she ends up, the firstborn girl is the one most likely to end up taking care of the parents when they get older.
Yes, always.
So where do you fit in?
Mother instinct. I am the firstborn girl.
Firstborn girl.
And I also have a younger brother, but I take care of my. I feel an obligation to do that, and he just doesn't even. He's like, okay, they're adults; they can take care of themselves.
Exactly. Now tell me, who did you marry?
I married an only child.
Okay.
Yes.
So in many ways, an only child can operate like a firstborn, can operate like a lastborn, depending on who they marry.
Mm-hmm.
So either you guys get an incredible conflicts, because each of you are trying to fight for who's in control, or you get into a pattern where he expects you to take care of him.
Right. It's kind of both. We've been married 10 years, and through the years we've alternated.
Mm-hmm.
Back and forth.
1 year you've been mom, and kind of like the Berenstain Bears. Did you read those books to your kids?
Yes.
They are awful. Absolutely off them. The mother bear is such this horrible old maid mother, right? And she's always got this scornful look at the dad who's acting just as badly as the kids, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's so easy to fall into that, especially if you're an oldest girl.
Right.
Hey, Tina, thanks a lot for the call.
Yes, thank you.
Appreciate it. Stanley and Tucker, welcome to the program. You're listening to Screen Free Radio on News Talk 750 WSB.
Hey.
Hey, Stanley, how are you doing?
Good.
What's
just
your
had
question?
A question. Yeah. Well, I had a question for you about the birth order, and what if the birth order is not what you would think it would be because of relationships or
okay, tell me specifically.
Okay, my I grew up as a firstborn male, had a sister.
Uh-huh.
And it was younger than me. When I was 28, found out that I had another sister that my mom had. And
when you were 28, you found that out?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes, I finally got.
Oh, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
So you've got an older sister out there.
Right. She's 2 years older than me. And actually, she's very much like I am in many ways.
Uh-huh.
But now she's a firstborn because somebody one time said, are you a firstborn or a what? And I said, well, it depends. And he said, you either are or you aren't. It doesn't depend.
Sure.
And I said, well, let me tell you the situation. And they said, well, for all practical purposes, you are a firstborn. So,
so much of it depends on how you were raised and how you grew up and your relationships with your siblings. Now, in how old is your sister, your youngest sister?
Younger sister, she's 2.5 years younger than me.
2.5 years younger, so fairly close. And no other siblings?
No other ones.
Right. So tell me this, what do you do for a living?
Computer networks, IT.
Okay. And successful? Doing well?
Yes. Yes.
And what about your sister?
She was an architect for a while, and now she's stay-at-home mom.
Which is very, very fitting, because the first caller who functions like a lastborn, he's an architect. And art is usually the domain of lastborns. And technical things, engineers, networkers like you, usually the firstborn. But for all intents and purposes, you were raised as a firstborn, and that's how you're going to behave usually.
Okay.
All right. Thank you much for the call. Hey, got another question for you.
Okay.
All right, and this is for you and for everyone out there. What do Roger Clinton, Teddy Roosevelt, and Billy Carter have in common? I'll tell you after the break. News Talk 750 WSB, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, 1-800-972-8255. What are the best ways you can parent your children so as to not have them automatically determined by the birth order? You're listening to News Talk 750 WSB.
Now, back to Screen Free Radio with New York Times bestselling author and creator of the Screen Free Relationship Revolution, Hal Runkle, on News Talk 750 WSB.
Bringing a newfound calm into your stress-filled life, helping you create the relationships you've always wanted. This is Screen Free Radio. What do Roger Clinton, Teddy Roosevelt, and Billy Carter have in common? We're going to have Sheila in Athens try and guess that. Sheila.
Oh, Lord, I couldn't tell you.
Okay. You recognize the last names, Clinton, Roosevelt, and Carter.
I do.
Yeah. All three had successful, presidential, older brothers. And all three had disastrous lives, trying to live up to. Those older brothers. Same thing seems to have had happened with Neil Bush, who not only has a president for an oldest brother, but he's got a governor for a second oldest brother. But Sheila, what is your question for Scream Free Radio?
Well, I'm sitting here at my potter's wheel doing my pottery,
uh-huh.
Looking out the door on this beautiful afternoon, and this subject has always fascinated me, and my sister and I are as different as night and day. She's oldest. She was first born. She's about 4 years older than me.
Which is totally fitting because your oldest sister would not be sitting around a pottery wheel.
No.
Exactly. Oldests don't do a lot of art.
No.
Oldest, they got too many things to do.
She's fascinated, you know, with me and my talent, of course, but I'm fascinated with things about her, too. I mean, we each appreciate the opposite characteristics in the other. But we are so opposite, and I just wondered why I went on such a different road than she did. I mean, when I was 18 years old, I left the South. I packed my bags and went far away.
Okay, well, obviously you've been thinking about this your whole life. So before I tell you what I think, I want to hear what you think. What's your theory as to why you turned out so different?
But I don't know. I just don't know what I do know. I've never been sure. That's why I'm calling. I don't call. I listen to 750 all week. Are you on every Sunday?
I am on every Sunday.
Oh.
Well, like it or not, I am here.
It looks like I'm going to be glued to 750 all week now, including Sunday.
That's
anyway,
fantastic. Tell me your best theory, because you've come up with one. What is your theory as to why you and your sister are so different?
I don't know. I've always considered myself.
All right. We lost you, but I will say what my theory is. Here's the deal. Firstborns, as the study says, get a lot more attention. They also, as a second child comes along, they have a lot more expectations put on them. Because you might be dealing with two siblings engaged in one behavior, fighting with each other, or doing something like my brother and I breaking bricks in the neighbor's driveway, right? Well, who is going to be expected to behave better in that situation? Of course, the oldest. And what that does is communicates you are more responsible. You are supposed to be more responsible. And so that becomes your kind of signature, is you're the responsible one. You're the one, oftentimes the oldest one is, you're the one that mom and dad never have to worry about, right? We don't have to worry about you because you're older. And then here's another thing that happens is the oldest one is expected to be responsible for the younger ones. So you're expected to babysit for free. Doesn't matter what your schedule is, the oldest one, you have to, because this is your role in the family. Well, what we don't realize is that's convenient for us as parents, but what it's doing to the child is taking away a bit of their childhood. And it's just cementing that firstborn characteristic that you are super responsible. And what's going to happen in marriage? Jenny, co-producer, firstborn in our marriage. Of course, I'm the last born. So what is the tendency? What's the tendency of a firstborn? What's your kind of default response when something, a conflict arises or something doesn't seem to be going right in the home?
You mean like leaving on time and having your cell phone with you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Well, the tendency, definitely earlier on in our marriage, that's for sure, was to become uber responsible. I was kind of used to being the responsible one in my family. I have two younger brothers. Taking care of them to some degree. And it just kind of worked out, and very much like you were talking about earlier, the Berenstain Bears, where it was kind of cute and charming at first that you were under responsible, and I liked taking care of you. And then eventually it kind of, I think, gave me a sense of purpose and something to do. And
mm-hmm. Your role in the family.
Yeah, and it became a really, really strong pattern for us until you started doing some work on marriage and family in the graduate program, and we started talking seriously about these issues, and then we started realizing how very damaging those patterns can be if you don't even know that they're happening, especially.
And that's the thing. That's why it's important, I think, to talk about birth orders, because it is like this force. Now, Freud talked about these unconscious sexual forces that are driving us, and a lot of his theories have gone by the wayside, thankfully, but this force of where you come in the birth order seems to be, the data certainly indicating, that it is amazingly powerful, more powerful than you would imagine. That's why you see so many tendencies play themselves out over and over and over, especially when it comes to mate selection, because firstborns most often select lastborns.
Right, and I think, you know, you'd mentioned earlier, what's the tendency? I think specifically it was, I felt really, really responsible for you whenever you would be the youngest child in terms of like a social situation, if you forgot your keys or if you, you know, didn't have the papers you needed or whatever it was that happened, I really did feel like it was my job to make sure all that was in order and make sure, I thought that was what I was supposed to do, and not realizing that set me up to be someone who couldn't make a mistake, and it set you up as someone who kept making mistakes so that I would continue to take care of.
Exactly. We've talked about firstborns being the super responsible ones. Well, what is the downside of that? And all you firstborns listening can absolutely relate to this. You have struggled your whole life with being perfectionistic. You have absolutely struggled with that. It has driven you crazy. because you hold yourself to such a high standard, and you feel like that standard's being held on you because it was by your parent. But you feel like everyone around you holds you to that standard, and you live up to it, which, of course, just makes it worse. People hold you to an even higher standard. And then you see the youngest, charming, affable one come in and get all the attention, all the praise, and yet no one remembers your birthday at work. But we totally depend on you at work because you're the one we don't have to worry about. That's the powerful pattern. And you may not have realized how much it's affected your life so far. You don't realize how much it's affecting your kids' lives. And that's why I'm here. I'm here to help you see things that you haven't thought about, relationship patterns that you haven't thought about that actually do shape what choices you think are right. The choices you think you should make every day are not pure, occurring in a vacuum, looking at them objectively, what is right and what is wrong. The choices that you see as options available to you are shaped by certain lenses, relationship patterns that you've grown up with, and one of the most powerful is sibling position. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, that's 1-800-972-8255. I am your relationship expert on every Sunday from 2 to 4. You can also email us at askhal@screamfree.com. And that's what we do. Scream Free is about learning to calm your reactivity, learning to calm down enough to be able to see with a little more objectivity. We all have lenses that shape how we see the world and shape our interactions with other people. One of the most powerful is birth order. And John is on the phone wondering why in the world we should listen to me.
Exactly.
Tell me more.
Why don't we listen to a left-wing bedwetter who's the last born tell us that what we're doing is wrong?
Sounds like
what you're saying is that you're the one who is irresponsible, and you've been beholden to somebody else who's taking care of you all this time, and yet you're telling us that we're wrong.
Exactly.
I am a single child. I'm an only child, so I can speak to this with indifference.
Yeah.
I am not a firstborn or a lastborn.
Right. Well,
I
said earlier that you are that only children are most often firstborns on steroids.
And All right.
So that's what it sounds like, because you're thinking that this lastborn is an irresponsible guy. Why the heck should you listen to me?
Exactly.
It's a great question, because lastborns are usually not experts. Lastborns are usually comedians.
Yes, you're speaking of one.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, and it's interesting. It's something I run into, because the reason why I have a radio show is because I'm able to talk. The reason why I'm on today's show is because I do come across as charming, but I'm also, it's interesting enough, in my family, I'm the star. Even though I was the last born, I have had, a lot of times the firstborn is the star of the family, the one that's most successful. One of the things that mitigates that is if the lastborn seems to demonstrate us a certain capability, and I did very, very well in school, just blessed with good genes. And then I got all this expertise. So hopefully my expertise is not coming from my last bornness. Hopefully my expertise is coming from my training. But to tell you the truth, and you can already guess this, my wife, the firstborn, she's the one that really runs the show.
Okay. Since you are a last born, and you are the one who is, so, like you said, the cutest and the most amiable and
sure.
Everything else, and yet you're saying that you get your training, you got your knowledge through your training.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, who are the left-wing libs in school that were beating this into your head? Now, maybe you need to get off the side of the ball game here and suck it up and be more responsible.
You know what?
Out there and demand more of our children to be more responsible. Look at our society, the way it's falling apart.
And
now, I am an independent businessman, an entrepreneur, and I do everything my own way.
Exactly like an only child
now,
should.
What is wrong with that?
Nothing is wrong with that at all. And I thank you for the call, John. We've got several calls that we want to get to. I want to leave you with another little tidbit. Think about this. What factors tend to most diminish birth order stereotypes? You heard John. He's got certain strong opinions, like a lot of firstborns do, about where things should be done. All right? But That doesn't mean that he is locked into behaving that way. What factors tend to diminish those? Because I know you as parents don't want to lock your children in. News Talk 750 WSB, you're listening to Screen Free Radio, 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK, that's 1-800-972-8255. And we'll get to your calls in just a minute.
Calming the world, one relationship at a time. Now back to Screen Free Radio with Hal Runkle on News Talk 750 WSB.
Bringing newfound calm into your stress-filled life, helping you create the relationships you've always wanted. This is Scream Free Radio. What factors help to mitigate the effects of birth order so that your children are not locked into those stereotypes? And Christina in Cumming is wondering just that. Christina, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm looking for advice on how to not set my children up.
All right. Where do you fall? Where do you fall in the birth order?
I'm number one.
Okay. So you
I'm one
are
one of three.
And your husband?
He's number one as well.
Okay. Now here's the challenge, all right? Did you have sisters or brothers underneath you in your family?
I had one of each.
You had one of each. Okay, that helps. All right. What about your husband?
He had one sister.
He had one sister. That helps tremendously. Because firstborns, right? If they get married, if they didn't have the opposite gender beneath them, then they really, really struggle when it comes to parenting their children. But the fact is, you grew up looking, knowing how to relate with kids of the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm.
So did he. Now, tell me about your children.
I have two boys.
Okay.
My children are very young. I have two boys and two girls.
Tell me the ages.
8, 6, and 2, and 1.
All right, besides the fact that you're insane to have that many children in 8 years. All right, 8, 6, 2, and 1. All right, the boys, tell me the genders.
The first two are boys.
Okay.
And the last two are girls.
All right. You're going to have two firstborns and two lastborns.
That's what it seems like.
Most likely. And that you probably may even begin to see those things, right?
I am. I think I am.
Yeah. Here's the deal. Your 8-year-old is really going to be prone to being super responsible.
Mm-hmm.
He's had more time with you than anyone. That's what this study said.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's going to be more prone to be responsible. Here's one thing you do with your 8-year-old, is you do not ask him to teach the other kids things.
Okay.
You don't tell him he should know better. Like if they're all fighting in the back seat, you don't turn to the 8-year-old and say, look, you're the oldest, you should know better.
Sure.
Which I'm guessing you've probably already done before.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Simple little things like that. Just don't make those expectations upon him. And then, as they get older, don't ask him to babysit without paying him.
Okay.
Because you would hire another babysitter, but you can't tell him, you know what, this is just part of your job as a family, because what he's going to learn is that that's his job in life.
Sure.
Is to take care of everybody else. All right?
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's true. I do think that I'm seeing firstborn tendencies in
both
my 2-year-old. And she's very, it's just like I was. I think you're right. We do have two firstborns.
Sure. And here's the deal. Let your firstborns make mistakes.
Okay.
Let them make mistakes and even help develop a sense of laughter around those mistakes. And with your secondborns, both of them, your lastborns,
mm-hmm.
give them responsibilities.
Okay.
It is so, so easy to do more for the youngest because they're the youngest.
Yes.
They can't tie their shoes, so, Mom, okay, you're the baby, so I'll tie your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And see, we had our firstborn point out to us.
Mm-hmm.
You let him get away with everything. You guys do too much for him.
Right.
It sounds like the fact you're asking the question, Christina,
mm-hmm.
makes you different than most parents.
Well.
And the fact that you're aware of it gives you every chance that you can help mitigate those circumstances.
You know, just the other day, my friend and I were talking about how much we rely on our oldest children and how it's not fair to them.
Exactly. You know what, Christina? Not anymore.
No.
You are... You are listening to News Talk 750, Screen Free Radio, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, 1-800-972-8255. Birth order, how has it shaped you? How is it shaping your children? And how you can help to give your children a fighting chance to not be predetermined. News Talk 750, WSB.
Helping you to realize that all your relationships can be screen-free. This is Screen Free Radio with relationship expert Hal Runkel on News Talk 750 WSB. Call now and talk to Hal at 404-872-0750 or toll free at 1-800-WSB-TALK.
Bringing a newfound calm into your stress-filled life. Helping you create the relationships you've always wanted. This is Scream Free Radio. And you guys know, Clark Howard knows that you are worried about the economy, and he has a plan to teach you how to dump your debt and survive rising gas prices and a crisis in the mortgage industry. Join Clark Howard Tuesday, May 6th, 7 p.m. at New Birth Missionary Baptist Church in Lithonia. More details are online at wsbradio.com. We are talking about birth order, one of the most profound shapers of your personality, is where you fit in the sibling position. And we all know the stereotypes, right? What's amazing is usually stereotypes are kind of half true. What's amazing about birth order is stereotypes are just uniformly accurate across cultures, across time, across generations. Now, of course, you're going to hear that and say, when I talk about these stereotypes, you're going to hear, you know what, I don't fit into that. Of course that's true. There are so many other mitigating factors in life that, no, it's not true across the board. But in the aggregate, statistically, firstborns tend to be perfectionistic. They tend to be super responsible to a fault. They tend to be more successful. They tend to have more money. They get higher scores. They're a little more materialistically driven and success-driven. Youngest borns, on the other hand, tend to be more artistic. They tend to be funnier. A lot of times because the youngest one is the one that usually helps the whole family relax a little bit when things get tense by being the comic relief. That's why Whoopi Goldberg, Steve Martin, lots of comedians. Goldie Hawn, all last borns. It's amazing. Middle children, since sometimes, kind of, because they fit in the middle, they're neither one nor the other, they kind of get lost. That's why the middle child, a lot of times, becomes the one that acts out the most. Or the one that gets the most depressed. It's interesting. Think about Jan Brady, the middle child, right? She's not Marcia, but she's not the cute baby either. So middle children don't know where they fit in. And a lot of times, though, if they really see the tension, their way to ease the tension in the family is to become a peacemaker. But I'm really fascinated about how birth order helps us select our mates. Firstborns usually either marry for other firstborns or, most common, lastborns. Now, we had a caller earlier who was a typical only born. He was an only, and so a lot of times onlys can be firstborn on steroids. And he was calling to charge me, saying, why should we listen to you? Because you're a lastborn, you're irresponsible. Now, I don't want to come across as saying that either way is any better than any other way. These just are. And there are negatives and positives for each position. But here's an absolutely critical point, is no matter where you were born, you still have choices. You always have choices. Choices, the choices that you think are most right to you are shaped by that lens of your sibling position. But making choices in our relationships that sometimes go against our natural instinct from birth order, actually, those choices are the ones that are exactly the ones needed to start a revolution in your family. We've talked about already in the first hour about how I'm the youngest born, my wife's firstborn, and so our tendencies, certainly in the early goings of our marriage, our tendencies were that she would be super responsible and taking care of me, and mine would be under-responsible. So we've got this mother-son dynamic, which eventually drove us crazy. Because I would say, hey, you don't need to take care of me, and she would say, yes, I do, because of, look at this, you're so irresponsible, da-da-da, and it would lead to fight after fight after fight. And one such fight occurred every Sunday morning. This was many, many years ago. Our kids were very young. We were in graduate school. I was in graduate school. And every Sunday morning, we fell into the exact same pattern. The exact same pattern. She would get up early, start getting the kids ready for church and herself ready for church, and then she would feel it responsible for getting me ready for church. Now, during the week, I was getting up really, really early because I was doing graduate. I had to do reading before I went to school, and then I had a practice on top of that and blah, blah, blah. But on Sundays, boy, I just got lazy. Really lazy. And I would stall. And she would come in, and she would set my alarm clock. She would say, come on, let's go, we gotta go. Kid, are you gonna help me with the kids today? And it came to be where I would stall, that was my immaturity, and she would nag. That was her immaturity. Now, to the outside world, she looks like the one who's not at fault. What's so helpful, though, is recognizing that she was just participating in the pattern. She was nagging, I was stalling. The more I stalled, the more she nagged. She had to, right? Of course, the more she nagged, the more I immaturely stalled. Now, all you firstborns are thinking, well, yeah, that's what she's supposed to do, right? You're thinking, what a jerk, he's irresponsible. She had to do that, because otherwise she's going to have to do it all on her own, right? Well, that's the pattern we got into. What else could she do, right? She could learn to focus on herself, not on me. Just like I could learn to focus on myself, not on her. One of the principles of scream-free living is recognizing I need to focus more on my behavior, which I am in control of, and less on anybody else's behavior, which I am not in control of. And one of the hardest habits to break is breaking the habits of others, especially for firstborns. I think it's your job to break the habits of others. Now, your job is to not be responsible for anybody else, whether you're a lastborn, middle child, or firstborn. We are not responsible for anyone else on this planet. We are, however, responsible to them. And focusing on what my responsibilities to someone, that's my real calling in life. That means I can figure out, okay, how do I want to behave? What's the best way I can behave in this scenario? Rather than how do I need to get them to behave? Because whenever we focus on the other person, that's when we are most prone to going with our instincts, which are usually shaped by the negatives of birth order, the negative parts of the stereotype. So, we're in this pattern. My wife nagging, I'm stalling, she's nagging, I'm stalling, until one Sunday morning. Now, I noticed something was different, because I got up late, you know, like I usually did on Sunday morning, and I noticed she was getting ready, getting the kids ready, but she had a smile on her face, she had music playing. And she wasn't interacting with me. She wasn't telling me to get up. She wasn't doing anything with me. Now, I made it to the bathroom, and she poked her head in. And this is when I knew, you know what, all this stuff I was learning in graduate school about relationships, I knew that she had been listening. So she popped her head in. She said, hey, just want you to know, kids and I are leaving for church in 10 minutes, and we would love for you to join me. Join us. Then she closed the door. Now, I think, oh, man, she's been listening. So what? You know what that does? Is it makes me have two feelings at the same time. One, man, she's just trying to manipulate me into getting ready, blah, blah, blah. Two, I wonder if she means it. And not always, that comes with a feeling of newfound respect. She's not telling me what to do. She's just telling me what she's doing. And that leads me to focus more on myself. Huh, do I want to go to church? Yeah, I do. Okay, I'm going to get ready. Now, 10 minutes, I'm hurrying. I'm hurrying, right? And maybe I'm thinking, okay, if I at least show that I'm hurrying, she's going to slow down, right? She's not going to actually leave without me, because I'm supposed to teach a Bible class at church that day. I've got all these, and it was a parenting class, for crying out loud, right? So I'm supposed to be there on time, and she's got to get me there on time, right? She wouldn't leave without me. We only had one car back in graduate school days. But there I am getting dressed. I've got pants on, shirts unbuttoned. I look, front door's open. She's walking right out. She's not looking at me, she's not warning me, she's not threatening me, she is just walking right out. Now I take off. Take off. Now, thankfully, she stopped the car at the end of the driveway. I've got my shoes in my hand, my shirt's open, right? She stops the car. I get in. Not a word, right? The kids are in back, they're not saying anything either. But we didn't live that far from church, so we drive to church, and we both, without saying anything, we both just got the kids and took them to the nursery, and then we started walking down to the Bible class, and she reaches down, she grabs my hand, says, glad you could join us. She didn't say, I told you so. She didn't say, how could you do that? I didn't say, you were really going to leave me. It was just understood that she's in control of what she's in control of. She wanted to go to church, and she wanted her kids to go to church. Now, she wanted me to go to church, but she knows I'm a grown dang man, and I can make up that decision. By choosing simply to focus on her part of the pattern and change that, it necessarily changed my part as well. So all of a sudden, we weren't acting like a firstborn and a lastborn. We were acting like adults. We were acting like adults. And there's been numerous other times since then where I have chosen to take responsibility for something. Like in our family, for instance, I take care of the finances. That's a typical firstborn behavior, but it's something that I found a fascination for and had to do a lot of education. I listen to Clark Howard a lot and kind of get some reins on that. Not reins over her, but reins over me and the job of managing the finances. There are amazing choices out there for you to make that can mitigate the effects that birth order has had on you. And I want to help you discover those choices. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. That's 1-800-972-8255. You are not predetermined by how you arrived in the world. Your kids are not predetermined. You still have choices. Give me a call. We'll help you figure out the choices that you can make that can change the patterns in your life. That's why we're here. You're listening to Screen Free Radio, News Talk, 750 WSB.
Free Radio with New York Times bestselling author and creator of the Screen-Free Relationship Revolution, Hal Runkle, on News Talk 750 WSB.
Helping the world calm down and grow up one relationship at a time. That is the mission of ScreenFree.com, where you can go and learn about all things Screen-Free. It's an amazing website put together by an amazing team of people. There are articles. There's a forum, obviously products, ways you can become scream-free, start a revolution in your family. Go to screamfree.com. And if you want to contact us, send us an email, askhal@screamfree.com. We are here to answer your questions and help you see new possibilities, ways you can behave without needing someone else to behave. And that's really the scream-free difference. Is realizing, you know what, I am in control of me. I'm not in control of anybody else. And when I make that shift, then amazing new possibilities arise. Deb in Covington, you've been waiting a while. Welcome to the program. You're in line 4.
Hello?
Hey, Deb.
Hey.
How are you?
Good.
You're listening to Screen Free Radio. What's your question?
Tell me the role of the mistreated middle child.
Mistreated middle child. You know, the middle child can go a number of different directions. Now, I'm taking it that this is not a hypothetical question for you.
So no.
You're a middle child.
Yes.
Okay, tell me the age range of all the children.
3 years apart.
Both ways.
Between two brothers.
Between two brothers, right? So you've got a firstborn brother who was, I'm guessing, athletic. Or did well
smart.
In... Smart. Okay. All right. And the youngest?
Well, and smart.
Okay. And you? The lost child?
Yes.
Tell me how that has affected... How you think that's affected you.
I just seemed like I was always in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in many ways, that's your role in the family.
The troublemaker?
Yeah. Yeah. And it sounds like, you know, I put my therapist hat on for a little bit. It sounds like it still hurts.
Occasionally.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me who you married.
A middle child.
Another middle child. Very, very common. Because you guys understand each other's plight. You understand each other's pain.
Perhaps.
But the difficulty is neither one of you can fix one another's pain. You know, if you married a firstborn, then you can lean on him. If you marry the youngest born, then he can lean on you. But two middleborns? It's interesting, though. Middleborns can go a number of different directions. But I want to hear, tell me how you think you were mistreated.
Just trapped between the two. The rules for me were always different.
The rules for you. Now, that could have been because you were a girl as well.
Well, I think both, yes.
You think both. Yeah, because not only were you the middle child, but you were the only girl. Which means a lot of times, mom is harder on the only girl. Is that the case with you?
Yes.
Yeah. Because, you know what, mom has to imprint what it means to be a woman. And you're her only project to work on. So that means you get a lot of mom's anxiety. All of her stuff, unresolved stuff with her about her own womanhood, gets pushed on you. It's just like men working on the firstborn son think, okay, whatever failures I had in sports, I need to foster that on my son, right? He's got to be really, really good. Men go farther than I did. Well, women do the same thing with, especially if they only have one daughter like you. Now, tell me this. Tell me this.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
What have you done to address some of this pain that I still hear in your voice?
Well, I'm the caretaker now.
Yeah, of your older, of your parents?
They're gone. Yes, but I was.
You were. And I'm guessing still some resentment towards your brothers about that?
No, more toward my parents.
Because they expected it from you?
Yeah.
But your brothers didn't step up and do it?
No.
What's your relationship like with your brothers now?
One's great and one's not.
Which one's not?
Older.
How long has it been since you spoke with him?
A month or so. I mean, it's different.
Okay, it's different. Do you seek out a relationship with him?
No.
Because?
Nothing in common.
That's a weak excuse. You have so much in common. The fact that you grew up with the same parents means you have tons in common. You share DNA. It means tons in common.
With my younger brother, yes.
Okay. Here's the challenge for you. The challenge for you is to not give up on your relationship with your older brother. Here's the deal about siblings. Siblings are the longest relationships we have in life. You can't have one longer than the one you have with your siblings. And there's nothing you can do. It's not a chosen relationship. You can divorce your husband, but you can't not be a sister. And the thing is, so often, the way it's designed is sibling relationships are the way we cut our teeth growing up. And mistakes are made. Mistakes are made because we don't know what we're doing, and parents don't know what they're doing, and so they compare against one another, and probably you were compared against your older brother. And then expectations are put on you. The challenge is to rise above that and say, you know what, I want a relationship with both my brothers because simply they're both my brothers. Just because there's power in family. So the question is, are you open to that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Reaching out to your brother?
Yeah.
And I'm not suggesting some, you know what, we're going to fix things from now on and we're going to rehash. What I would suggest is, here's what you do. I would suggest that you reach out to your brother for simply agenda-free time. With no agenda, you're not trying to fix anything, you just want to be with him. And that's going to be tough. It's going to be tough because, you know what, as you've described, you don't have anything in common. But man, family relationships have this amazing power to shape us in so many ways that we can't anticipate. And so it behooves us not to just simply assume they have no power. Even sibling relationships, that we're going old, we've gotten old with each other, we haven't talked in years, it still carries power because we grew up in the same family. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, that's 1-800-972-8255. You are listening to Screen Free Radio on News Talk 750 WSB.
He's calming the world, one relationship at a time. Now back to Screen Free Radio with Hal Russell on News Talk 750 WSB.
Bringing a newfound calm into your stress-filled life, helping you create the relationships you've always wanted. This is Scream Free Radio. Birth order has an amazing, profound effect. New studies is trying to identify what makes that effect in our parenting relationships, in our styles. New study shows that firstborns receive 3,000 more hours of critical parental time during the ages between 4 and 13 as compared with their younger siblings. If you guys want to tune in, I am going to be on the Today Show tomorrow morning. So while you're listening to WSB for your news, traffic, and weather in the morning, you can just hop on over for just about 4 minutes, sometime between 8 and 8:30. I'm not sure who's going to be interviewing me at the time. Might be Meredith, who, not surprisingly, she's the funniest one on the show, and that makes her a last born. Of course, you would expect Matt Lauer, very hard-driven, successful guy, firstborn. In fact, you know what? There are very, very few middle children that ever end up as news personalities. It's usually firstborns, and the funny ones, like Whoopi Goldberg on The View, are the lastborns. Fascinating how that plays itself out. But Jan in Snellville disagrees about birth order. Jan, welcome to the program. Jan? She has cut herself off. One of the ways that we attempt to deal with family issues is called emotional cutoff. We cut ourselves off thinking, you know what, I can't handle this relationship anymore, so the best thing that I can do is cut myself off. Not going to talk to that guy anymore. Not going to talk to him. And so that's going to solve my relationship problem. But what's amazing is emotional cutoffs do not work. They do not work. There's nothing you can do. The effect of that relationship is still going to be on you. So what that means is it is in our best interests to work very hard to make the best of relationships, especially sibling relationships. Because we did talk about last time that sibling relationships are the longest relationships we have in life. The longest possible relationships. So that means they're sort of designed as this way where we cut our teeth, where we learn how to do relationships. And so many of our major mistakes are made with these long, long relationships with our siblings. But as we grow older, certainly as our parents begin to need our support, physical, mental, financial, then those sibling relationships come back. And it behooves us all to continue to work on those. All right, I think we have Jan back with us. Jan, welcome to the program.
Well, hi, thank you. I was just listening to your great program. I didn't really know it was here.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Tune in every week, 2 to 4, every Sunday,
well,
2 to 4.
I will. It's great.
Good.
I was just interested in the fact that you had talked earlier about firstborns and so forth taking care of their parents. And
especially if it's a firstborn is a girl.
Well, you know, this, I'm the last out of me. I'm the last born, and I was the caretaker. And
were you, were there girls above you?
Yes.
Really?
One that was 3 years older than myself.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, she just made it very clear that she was not going to do it.
She was not going to do it.
No, she was not going to do it.
And what about your older brother?
Well, he had passed away, so
okay.
It was really, you know, just the two of us.
So clearly it was that she was reacting to an expectation that she seemed was falling on her, and so she was just going to cut that expectation off at the pass and say, no, it's not happening.
Well, and she did, and it was, you know, all through our later years, I was the one that always went to visit my mother and,
right,
you know, that sort of thing. And
now tell me this, what effect has that had on your relationship with your sister?
Well, it's good. I mean, you know, I just don't understand people like that, but
okay.
I think that's just sort of the way she is, and I accept her, you know, for that. And it's just you know, she's self-centered. You can definitely see that, but
okay.
But yeah. I accept her for that, and I love her, and she lives in another state, but I moved my mom here to
of
take
course.
Care of her for
of
the last 3 years of her life, and I was blessed, really, to be able to do it. It was hard. I'm not saying it wasn't. It was.
Of course it was hard. Of course, especially if you were doing it all on your own.
I was.
Sure,
and
but you bring up a great point, because the expectations placed on us in our birth order, and thank you very much, Jan, for the call, the expectations placed upon us in our birth order can be so intense that we can react against it by saying that in no way am I going to act like that. So a firstborn who feels all this pressure put upon him or her will sometimes become the troublemaker of the family in this way to protest. And it's a very immature way, but I am not going to have that on me. So before you even get there, and that's what happened with the last call with Janice, you're saying her older sister says, you know what, it's expected of me, certainly now that the oldest brother has died, it's going to be me, and I'm not going to have anything to do with it. So I made a joke about cutting off. Turns out I cut her off accidentally. But that's just an extreme reaction to a relationship situation. We always have tendencies to go toward extremes. The problem, though, is extremes always lead to opposite extremes. That's part of Scream Free, is recognizing, all right, I got to see what would be an extreme response in this. All right, I'm a firstborn. Mom and dad are getting sick. And, all right, one extreme is, it's going to be me. It's going to be all me. Not even going to ask the younger brothers and sisters. Not even going to ask them to help. It's my job. I'm going to do it. That's one extreme response. You may not even see it as an extreme. You may just, because you've grown up with that, that's just your job. The opposite extreme could be for that firstborn to say, you know what, it's on me, so I'm not doing any of it. Not doing any of it. And then that, of course, leads to incredible resentments from the younger kids and a lot of unhappiness, because that firstborn is going against kind of their own values and saying, I'm not going to help at all. But our job at Scream Free is to help us see those extremes so that we can make another choice. A much more mature choice is, you know what, I'm going to do what I believe my responsibilities to my adults, to my parents are. And I'm going to expect the involvement of my younger siblings. Why? Because that's a good thing to do. It's a mature thing to do. For us all to do that. For us all to participate. And what that says is, you know what? I'm not going to let my birth order determine me. And that's what's...